Well, please take your Bibles. If you'll turn with me now, we're in the book of Acts this morning, chapter 9, and verses 19 through 31. Our message series is called Church on the Move. We're working our way through the book of Acts together. Last year we did chapters 1 through 8. Now we're just getting started in chapters 9 through 15 for this year. Last week we looked at Saul's conversion. That was the first part of Acts chapter 9. We saw what Paul was like before his conversion. We saw how God grabbed hold of Saul on the road to Damascus and brought him to faith in Christ. So that was Saul's conversion, part one. Well, today we come to part two. Today we learn the rest of the story. So last week we saw how Saul came to Christ. Today we learn what changed in Saul's life once he did come to Christ. So in Acts chapter 9, and I'm just going to begin by reading verses 19 through 22. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Chapter 9, beginning at verse 19. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call in his name, and hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we look into these verses and this whole passage, and we learn more about Saul's conversion, Lord, that's great, but Lord, we want to know what you have for us today. So God, speak to our hearts about our own life and our own conversion and the changes that you desire to bring to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we're talking about conversion this morning, picking up on last week's message on Saul's conversion and the changes that happen with conversion. And really the big idea I want us to grab hold of today is simply this: your conversion doesn't stop when you come to Christ. Sometimes we think that's it. Yeah, I prayed to Christ, I'm converted, that's it. No, it's just beginning. Now, a lot of things have changed. You've changed from not believing to now one who does believe in Christ. Before your conversion, you were unforgiven. Now you are forgiven for all of your sins. Before you were under God's just condemnation for your sins, now there is no condemnation, praise God, for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've turned from darkness to light. You've gone from being a child of Satan to a child of God. You were enslaved by sin. Now you have been given freedom through the Holy Spirit. Those are a lot of changes. Those are some pretty big changes. All those happen the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. But that's just the beginning. There's more changes to come. And that's the way it was for Saul. When Saul converted to Christ, that's just started everything going. He was about to experience a whole series of changes in his life. From his speech patterns, to his actions and his loyalties, to his relationships, to his whole purpose in life. And so that's what we're going to do today, is we're going to look at Saul's conversion, part two. What were these changes that took place in Saul's life? What can we learn about ourselves and the changes that should take place in our lives following our conversion to Christ? There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out at this time. It'll help you to follow along in the message. It will also give you room to jot down notes as God speaks different things to your heart during the message today. So what's the first change? First change we notice in Saul is that the blasphemer became a preacher. The blasphemer became a preacher. This was a change in Saul's speech, or the words that came out of his mouth. And we'll see that there was both an immediate change in Saul here, and then there was also continued growth. Both are important for us as we consider this. First of all, the immediate change is that he began speaking for Jesus rather than against Jesus. For Jesus instead of against Jesus. Look at verses 19 through 21. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished. They said, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? Hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" So Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, but he didn't wait around for anything. He began preaching at once, right? Immediately. Notice he began his preaching where? With the Jews in the synagogues. We're going to talk about that more as we go through our series in Acts, but this is a pattern that you see throughout the book of Acts. The gospel always went to the Jews first. What was the content of his message, his preaching? Very simple. He began to preach that Jesus is the Son of God. So wherefore, before he blasphemed the name of Jesus, now he preached the name of Jesus. Whereas before he arrested anyone who preached the name of Jesus, now he preached the name of Jesus himself. Whereas before he considered the message that he was now preaching as blasphemy of the highest order, now he proclaimed it literally as the gospel truth. And this was an amazing change in Saul's speech. He was still going to the synagogues, but instead of going there to drag people out and throw them in prison, he came to preach instead of persecute. His former zeal for persecution was outdone by his newfound zeal for the gospel. And everybody who heard him was amazed. I mean, they knew who Saul was. They knew his reputation from Jerusalem. They knew why he'd come to Damascus. They knew his mission. This was a completely changed man. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And that's what we see with Saul. That's what we see with anyone who comes to faith in Christ. There is an immediate change. But there was not only this immediate change, there was continued growth as well. Look at verse 22 next. Yet Saul grew more and more powerful, and he baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Notice Saul didn't stay static in his faith. He grew. He grew more and more powerful in his preaching. You might wonder, well, where did that power come from? Remember what we looked at last week. Ananias went to Saul, verse 17. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, sent me so that you may see again and here it is, be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's where the power for witnessing comes. This brings us all the way back to the beginning of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where we started our whole series. We said this was our theme verse for the whole book of Acts. Jesus told his disciples, you will receive power. When? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. This is so encouraging. The power for witnessing comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's great news, because guess what? We all have access to the same Holy Spirit that Paul did. That means you could have the same power in sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus with others that Paul did, because it's all the Holy Spirit. And as Saul shared Christ, he grew in his faith. He became more persuasive in his message, proving, Luke says, proving that Jesus is the Christ. Saul already had this amazing background in the Old Testament long before he became a Christian. He'd studied the law. He'd studied the scriptures. He'd studied under the most famous rabbis. He knew his Old Testament. And now he began applying all of that to preaching Christ from the Old Testament, proving Jesus is the Christ. That word translated proving, it's a word that means to join or put together. And so the idea here is this, is that Paul made connections for his hearers. He made connections. He took to various Old Testament texts. He put them together. He showed how they connected and how they connected to Jesus, how they spoke of Jesus and was fulfilled in Christ. And all of this brings us to a very important principle. Knowing the Bible doesn't make you a believer, but knowing Christ does. Saul knew the Bible better than anyone, but it wasn't until he came to Christ that he really understood it and really began to teach the full meaning of the scriptures in Christ. This also shows us that God can use your background before you came to Christ for your witness once you become a believer. That's what God did for Saul. Took all of his background and he immediately put it to good use. God can take all of the things in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it, everything in your background, God can now take that, turn it around, and use that for your ministry and for your witness to Christ. Nothing is ever wasted with God. Notice Saul didn't prove that Jesus was the Christ, rather that Jesus is the Christ. That's real important. Present tense. Jesus was not someone who died and was buried and was still buried in the grave. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Jesus is the Christ because he is alive today. He rose again. And this was part of Saul's role as an apostle, was to testify as an eyewitness to the resurrection of Christ. And so there was an immediate change in Saul's speech when he became a Christian. And then there was continued growth as well. So time to do a little self-check here, a little spot check on ourselves. How did your speech change when you became a Christian? Do you speak differently now that you're a follower of Christ? Do you use different words? Do you not use some words maybe that you used to use before you became a Christian? Do you speak about Jesus in a different way? Whereas before, maybe his name was a curse word, is his name now an object of worship and praise and testimony? Was there an immediate change? And is there continued growth? Are you growing in this area? And we all need to grow in this area, right? But you see, when you become a Christian, everything changes, and that includes the words that come out of your mouth. That's the first big change we see in Saul's life. The blasphemer became a preacher. Praise God. Change number two, the persecutor became the persecuted. The persecutor became the persecuted. That first change was a change in speech, right? This second change, this was a change in Saul's actions and his loyalties. Saul changed from someone who persecuted others to someone who was persecuted himself. Now, just a heads up, in case nobody ever told you this, when you first become a Christian and you take a stand for Christ, guess what? Not everybody's going to approve. Not everyone's going to be happy about that. Look at our passage now, verses 23 and 24. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. Now, those first three words, after many days, that's carrying a lot of weight there. Because when you look at the scriptures as a whole, and especially the book of Galatians, it's fascinating when you compare what's going on in Galatians with the book of Acts. It fills in a lot of the missing details. That after many days is actually a span of about 3 years. So there's 3 years packed into those days. So here's the timeline. Saul's converted on the road to Damascus. He immediately begins preaching in the city. But then Galatians tells us that he left Damascus for 3 years. He went to Arabia, of all places. Spent 3 years in Arabia. Then he came back to Damascus where he continued his preaching. That interlude in Arabia, we're not told exactly what took place there, but that would certainly have given him time to solidify his study of the scriptures, looking at the scriptures again through new eyes now that he knows that Jesus is the Messiah, growing in his faith before beginning his extended preaching ministry. But now that he was back in Damascus, not everybody approves, right? The Jews conspired to kill him. They were obsessing over this day and night. You know, they've got like 24/7 people watching the city gates, just waiting for the right opportunity. Apparently the plan was this. We don't want to kill him in the city, but as soon as he walks outside those gates, we're ready. We'll send the word. We'll get him outside the city. Not everyone's happy when you become a Christian. Some may even get nasty. Now, I imagine if you keep quiet and you don't tell anybody, you don't make any major lifestyle changes, they'll probably leave you alone because they won't know. But that's not what we do, right? When you start speaking up for Jesus, when you start changing your actions and your loyalties, be ready, be prepared for the pushback. And so not everyone will approve. But here's the good news. God will see you through. God's got this. He's got you. Saul got wind of their plans. He knew the gate was being watched, so he came up with another way out. Look at verse 25. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. I like to call this the Great Escape. And you know, as a kid, I had one of those picture Bibles as a kid. You know, you could see the pictures of all the stories. This one always stood out to me. I could still see the picture from the book, the illustration. You know, it's nighttime and he's in a basket and he's sort of like hunched like this and he's looking up and they're lowering him on a rope over the wall. I thought that was the coolest thing. It's like, whoa, the Bible's an adventure story. Well, it is an adventure story. But you see, when you become a Christian, everything changes. That includes your actions and your loyalties. It means your lifestyle will change and not everyone will approve. But God will see you through. He's going to get you through that. He'll watch over you. He will protect you. This was the second big change in Saul's life. The persecutor became the persecuted. And then the third change, the outsider joined the disciples. The outsider joined the disciples. This was a change in Saul's relationships and his purpose. Before his conversion, he was outside the faith. But once again, when you come to faith in Christ, everything changes. And you have two big welcomes awaiting you when you come to Christ. Two big welcomes. First, there's the welcome to your new family. Welcome to your new family. Look at verses 26 and 27. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul and his journey had seen the Lord, that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Paul escapes from Damascus in the basket, down the wall at night, makes his way to Jerusalem. But when he gets there, the disciples, they're all afraid of him. They don't want anything to do with him. They remember the last time he was in Jerusalem, what he was doing, all the harm he caused. They don't trust that he is truly a believer. So let me ask you, has this ever happened to you? Have you ever found out that someone from your past became a Christian? You were a little suspicious about it. I've done that. I've had friends who were dead set against Christ, dead set against the church, didn't want anything to do with the church or Christianity. And then years later, when I hear that they've become a Christian, my first thought is, really? And you know what that is? That's a lack of faith on my part. Why? Because I shared Christ with them. I shared the gospel with them. I prayed for them. I prayed for their salvation. And now years later that they've come to Christ, I'm going to question it? And that's the way the disciples in Jerusalem probably felt. They were really messing this up. Could Saul, the blasphemer and persecutor of Christians, could he really have become a Christian himself? Unfortunately, Barnabas was there. Barnabas comes alongside Saul. He became an advocate for him. This is the second time now we've met Barnabas in the book of Acts. And the more you meet him, the more you love this guy. We first met him back in chapter 4. We learned that his real name was Joseph. He was a Levite from Cyprus, and he was known for his encouragement. In fact, that's how he got his name Barnabas. Barnabas was just a nickname. It wasn't his real name, but nobody called him Joseph. They called him Barnabas. Why? Because Barnabas means son of encouragement. He was an encourager, and everybody recognized it's Barnabas. So here in chapter 9 now, Barnabas the encourager brings Saul to the apostles. Once again, if you read the book of Galatians specifically, he brings him to Peter and James. Tells them three things. He tells them about Saul's conversion, how Saul met Jesus. Tells them about Saul's commission, how Jesus spoke to him. And he tells them about Saul's conduct, how he preached Jesus fearlessly in Damascus. Barnabas smoothed the way for Saul, and he helped him transition into the church in Jerusalem. And people, we need more encouragers like Barnabas who will welcome newcomers, right? Introduce them to others and help them feel welcome in the church, and especially when they're new believers in Christ. Is God putting it on your heart to be more of a Barnabas and to take more of an active role in looking for people in the church and welcoming them and helping them transition in? You see, your relationships change when you come to Christ. As a Christian, you now have God as your father, Jesus as your brother, and the church as your family. And so that's the first welcome awaiting you when you come to Christ. Welcome to your new family. You got a whole new family. Praise God. It's wonderful. But then there's that second welcome awaiting you as well. Ready for this one? Welcome to your new mission. Welcome to your new mission. Saul was not only welcomed into a new family when he became a Christian, he had a new purpose in life. He was recruited into a new mission. Look at verses 28 through 30. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Poor Saul. Everybody just seems to want to kill the guy, right? You know, so the book of Galatians once again tells us Saul stayed with Peter here. This is a period of about 15 days. During that time, he continued speaking boldly about Jesus throughout Jerusalem. But one group he got into this just talking and debating with was a group called the Grecian Jews. We've met these guys before. Okay, this was the same group that debated with Stephen. Remember Stephen back in Acts chapter 7? Remember what they did to Stephen? Killed Stephen, right? Who was there when they killed Stephen? Saul was there. Who was approving of this? Saul was. Saul says, hey, let me hold your coats for you while you throw the stones. Saul knew what these guys did to Stephen when Stephen debated them. And now Saul's out there doing the same thing. That takes boldness. That takes amazing boldness. And same old story. They responded to Saul the same way they did to Stephen. They wanted to kill him. I guess when you can't win the argument, you just look for other ways to win. That's probably extreme, but that's what they did. But you know, Saul was part of a new family now, and the church came alongside him to protect him. They escorted him safely to Caesarea. From there, he made his way back to Tarsus. Tarsus was the capital city of Cilicia. It was also Saul's hometown. And Saul will now spend the next 8 to 10 years there. We sometimes call these Paul's silent years. 8 to 10 years before he began his famous mission trips to various parts of the world. When you join the family of God, know this, you join the mission as well. When you join the family of God, you join the church. And the church is called to be what? A church on the move. A church on the move with the gospel. We all share in the same responsibility together of bringing the gospel to those around us and indeed to the whole world. And then finally, along with all these changes that Saul experienced, the church was blessed with a change at this time as well. And we find the church entered a new season of peace. Look at verse 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. And so that first wave of persecution, much of which was fueled by Saul, he was a big part of that first wave of persecution, that first wave finally came to an end, and now the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed this season of peace. What's going on here? The gospel's going forth according to plan. Back to Acts chapter 1:8, right? Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, that ends of the earth part, that's eventually going to come. Saul's a big part of that too. But for right now, the church in these first three areas of movement enjoyed a time of peace. This would last until the next wave of the persecution comes under King Herod, and we'll get to that in Acts chapter 12. What did the church look like during this time of peace? They were strengthened. They were encouraged. They grew in numbers. They grew in holiness. They lived in the fear of the Lord. It's a beautiful picture and one we should all aspire to as a church together. So what do we learn from Saul's conversion part two? When you come to faith in Jesus, everything changes. Your speech changes. Your actions and your loyalties change. Your relationships change. Your purpose in life changes. You have a new family. You have a new mission. There are immediate changes as you begin your new life in Christ. Then there are continued changes as you grow in Christ. And then you'll start seeing changes around you and other people as God uses you to influence other people for Christ. It all goes back to what we said at the start here. Your conversion doesn't stop when you first become a Christian. That's only the beginning. Here's the deal. The person who doesn't experience any change, I mean, if there's no change at all, no change, not really a Christian. I mean, if nothing changed, then you didn't really come to Christ. The Christian who begins changing but stops changing, that's someone who's really stopped growing as a Christian. See, Christianity is not a quick dash and you're done, quick prayer, now I'm set for heaven. It's a long-distance marathon of following Jesus wherever he leads you. So my prayer for you today, for me, for all of us, is first of all that you will examine your life to see what changes God has brought thus far, and then also what changes still need to come. Think of those two things. What changes has God brought in your life so far? Think through those things. You're not the same person you were before Christ. Praise God. Think of the changes God has already brought to your life. And then consider what changes still need to come. God, where do I need to grow? And we all have that. We all need to grow. We're going to continue doing that the rest of our lives. Examine your life. What changes has God brought thus far? What changes still need to come? Secondly, I encourage you to praise God for the changes he's already done. Give him the praise, give him the glory, and I pray that you will seek God for ever newer and fresher growth as a believer. You see, as believers, we should all commit to a lifetime of following Jesus, resulting in a lifetime of change. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for Saul. Brother Saul and the amazing changes you worked in his life. The disciples didn't even believe it at first. God, I pray that you would take the various truths that you've impressed on our hearts during this message time today. Lord, that we would take them to heart. And Lord, we thank you for the ways you've already changed us. And God, we pray that you would continue to bring the changes that need to come. Lord, help us with our speech, with our words. Help us with our actions and our loyalties. Thank you for the relationships we have in the body of Christ. Help us with the mission. Help us to be a part of a church on the move that's sharing the gospel with others, that others may come to know you as well. Thank you for these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.